We have opened in the first weakness and the was to recognize the Metapanquarter to proceed if we have another weakness and line up for the Metapanquarter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have another witness lined up today. If you put a sergeant at arms, and we'll just check if the sergeant is on the outside of the main door.
You can do so. And some will just check the mic whether it is working. The one for the witness. Because we have we have learned that this thing can just go bad at any given time. Sometimes fluctuations of electrical supply and all that can damage equipment. And it doesn't suggest that, but not check before. It doesn't suggest that. Thank you very much for having done so. I now recognize Mr. Pantura to proceed to the interview.
In the own reports in the National Assembly at any one sitting, if there are particular place that you are seated, and if so, would you please describe to the committee where that is?
The seat of the bench that is used by the sergeant is at the back of the house and directly opposite, indirectly opposite the presiding officer at the door, it would normally be the front of the house, but it is on this side of the house. If you enter the door facing the presiding officer, the sergeant at arms will be sitting on the left hand side there.
What I'd like to do now, Ms. Mushlomi, is to ask his co-gerundums to take us to various parts of the video footage and for you just to explain to the committee what precisely is taking place at that time. Sorry, Ms. O'Jones. The first part of the footage I'd like to go to is that part of the footage that starts at 56 minutes and 13 seconds up to and including 56 minutes and 31 seconds, please.
Well, you will note that the speaker is saying, I will call the sergeant at arms to take out member. And at that time, I did not stand up because the speaker was not calling for the sergeant at arms there. She said, if you do not do X, Y, Z, I will call upon the sergeant at arms. The sergeant at arms does not want to look too eager to come and remove members or anything like that. So I do wait until I get an instruction that says X or Z.
Thank you. Ms. Mushlomi, I'd now like to show you a further part of the video footage with the assistance of Mr. Adonis, which is that part of the video footage commencing at 56 minutes, 36 seconds, up to and including 56 minutes, 48 seconds. So it's 56 minutes, 36 seconds, up to and including 56 minutes, 40 seconds.
I then moved from where I had been seated and came around the opposition parties and some of the ANC members, because that is where the path is, to come to members of the EFF.
And I'd now like Mr. Dermis to play a further portion of the footage, which is that portion from where we ended off last, up to and including 57 minutes and 32 seconds. So if you can just let it run from where you now, please, Mr. Dermis, up to 57 minutes and 32 seconds.
Thank you.
earlier on that you've risen from the seat where you were now to sit to the deck of the speaker's chair, and that you moved, you followed a path that would take you past the seats or benches of the majority party, and then ultimately up to the point where you are standing at the seats or benches occupied by the members of the Economic Freedom Partners. Are you in the frame that you are looking at that point?
Yes. Yes, I am. First, I am looking towards the place I am at this frame, and then I am standing next to Ms. Ngozi. There.
And do you have any interaction, conversation, engagement with Mr. Ngozi?
I tried. I do not recall having a conversation because I don't remember Mr. Ngozi responding to me directly. But I did try to say, Mr. Ngozi, please, the presiding officer has spoken. You are requested to leave the chamber. But I don't recall getting a response from it.
Thank you, Ms. Mishomi. There is another part of the footage that I would like you to view now and then get your comments on that. It's probably simple if we just get footage run from where he is now, he's Mr. Adonis, up to and including 58 minutes and 4 seconds. 58 minutes and 4 seconds.
The member I spoke to and who responded to me is Mr. Malema, and Mr. Kibambu, standing next to him, did listen to what I was saying for a bit, but did not speak to me.
And what did you tell Mr. Malema or say to Mr. Malema, and what was your response to him?
I spoke to Mr. Malema in Sipedi and told him that the presiding officer has spoken. I said, Ntate Malema, the presiding officer has spoken or leadership in the house, from the house. And Mr. Malema responded by, Hanifilo, means we are not going anywhere, we are not going anywhere. I then started almost pleading, I think. I said that Mr. Malema, please, it is very difficult for me to do this part of my work. It is very difficult for me to approach you like this. Please don't make it even more difficult than it is. The presiding officer wishes you to leave the house, and if you do not leave, it means that I must get the security to come and take you and the members of your party out of the house.
And what was Mr. Malema's response to your further pleading, as you described?
Mr. Malema's response was valije. Never could be him doing this. He was saying valije means call them.
After that interaction was just described by you now, did you persist or what did you do?
I did not persist. I saw that Mr. Malema was not going to cooperate
apologies. You say you walked out of the house, you don't communicate with the head of our manager security. Did you find this person?
When I was outside, some of the staff were outside, two or three or four of them were outside, but I looked and I did not see her. I actually probably didn't walk a little bit this way, but I was quite anxious not to be outside the chamber for too long. So I went back almost immediately.
The speaker by then, I think I've heard say, I'm suspending the house for a few minutes, for 3 minutes. From your recollection, did the speaker in fact do so? And if that is the case, where were you in that first suspension of a few minutes?
The speaker did indeed suspend the house. I don't know if it was exactly 3 minutes, but the house was suspended with all the members there. And I came back into the house, and I think for a while I was standing right at that door that I used to go out, the one on the left-hand side of the speaker, in the middle passage.
You heard the speaker say, Sergeant at Arms, please assist me in relieving the members who are not seen. The other members of the committee here this afternoon also heard the speaker say that. You then proceed, as you described, from your chair and follow a certain path. Who did you understand the speaker to be referring to?
It was clear to me that the speaker was referring to members of the Islamic Freedom Fighters. For me, it was not the issue of whether members were serious or not. My instruction was to take members who were distracting, as I understood, the proceedings of the house. And what I saw and heard was that the members of the Economic Freedom Front at that point, where they were standing up, they were shouting, some of them were banging on the tables, on their benches, and even though the speaker was saying to them, they are not recognized. So for me, the instruction was clear who it is that the speaker wanted to be removed from the house.
I just want to ask the journalists to play another rather short clip. You might have covered this area or this part of the clip already, but I think it is useful all the same to ask the journalists to play clip. Is that clip starting at 59 minutes 46 seconds up to and including 1 minute and 5 seconds? In that frame, on the screen now, will you confirm that there appears to be a person standing at the door, in the back of that frame, and from the access, that appears to you as the Sergeant of Arms?
That's correct.
Thank you, and if you could just take a round of the further brief, Mr. Jones. The agenda that was carried out, and this is not at all controversial, was not for or in dispute. The agenda was for 3 minutes, it was actually for 7 minutes. Were you in the house during the course of that agenda for a few minutes?
Yes, I was. I had a number of staff member who will talk to me in the chamber meeting. As I said also, I was a little anxious to be outside of the chamber and not see what is happening inside the chamber. Why? Because I couldn't find the section manager of protection services. I came back into the house also to converse with my colleagues on the floor of the house as to what next to do. One of the things that we spoke about was that people must be on the outside of the benches and not be walking up and down at this time.
And then we hear the speaker at some point saying to the members in the chamber that security have asked us to cooperate in this respect, and then there will be a longer adjournment. I think that adjournment is maybe some 40 minutes, but that's not really the point. This was a longer adjournment. Were you in the chamber for that longer adjournment also?
Yes, I was. I left the chamber for a few minutes.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Pedernis to play what I'm referring to now, CD2, and this records some footage recorded on what has been referred to as the EMG camera. First part of the page, roughly 1 minute and 18 seconds, it appears to depict him interacting with some members of the Economic Freedom Fighters. You can just take us through what just after was happening at that point.
Well, Mr. Malema and the other two ladies were asking for water. And in fact, they're asking, why are you not giving us water? Why are you not giving us water? And my response was that there is water available at the back of the house, that way. And if members would like to get some water, you know, they can go and get some.
Thank you. And then at roughly 2 minutes and 18 seconds, there is another part of the footage that will appear to be followed by or company of members of the house. I'd just like to hear your description of that. It's roughly 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
The two members were following me towards the back of the house where we did the water, but they were called back and they did not actually go and get the water.
If the committee wishes to view it again, I'm sure that the committee will ask you to do so. But the abuse footage earlier of what appears to be, and I don't think this is in the suit either, personnel of the South African Police Services in the National Assembly. Were those persons there? Were you involved at all in any discussions relating to calling them in or bringing them into the chamber? If you can just explain that.
No, I was not involved. I involved myself with the chamber service officers who are normally the people who said members, we were, all of us were on the floor of the house, and I saw members of the police services coming in. I was not part of any discussions to get them to onto the floor of the house.
Thank you, Mark. Part of your work, Sergeant Arms, does involve interacting with members of the South African Police Services in relation to the working of the house or the preparation for a sitting? And if so, if you can explain to the committee what that would entail.
Yes. Chair, I have to work with members of the South African Police Services because they are responsible for security. If something happens where, for example, you know, there's breakage on the premises of Parliament, etc. But also, what they do is they are also responsible for ensuring the security of the chamber. When for every city, the members of the SATS, the dog unit, come into what they say to sweep the chamber, both on the floor and in the gallery. And once that has been done, people are not allowed to come into the house until members start converging in the chamber. So members of the SATS would sit and guard that people not come into the chamber at all once the doors have been. Also, the SATS are around the chamber all of the time. So apart from speaking to them about work, we talk about you know, the work that we do, etc.
Thank you.
Sports
saying with the, I think it's the ENG footage. There are a clip that I would like us to view, and I would like you to explain to the committee what was taking place there. It starts at 18 minutes 45 seconds, up to and including 20 minutes and 48 seconds. Mr. Mashlumi, if you could please just explain what precisely took place in the clip or that part of the clip that we have just watched now.
Two young guys of the Vietnam family burst through the door. It's a door on the in the middle of the passage on the right hand side of the presiding officer. You will have seen that I was not right at the door, I was standing somewhere off the teacher. And but three members came through the door and they were saying things like we will go to them, we will get them. One of the members went out immediately, but two of them remained, the one lady and one gentleman remained in the chamber. We spoke to them, my colleagues and myself, we spoke to them and we pleaded with them. I remember saying to the gentleman, one of the things I remember saying was that the media is sitting up there and they are reporting all of these things at me. Can you imagine what will happen if you really go towards the EFF? So eventually the gentleman did leave and the lady did leave, even though they did not use the same doors. So the lady went out the door that we usually use for the speaker entrance and the gentleman used the door that is on the street now.
The footage that I asked Mr. Adonis to play is from roughly 18 minutes 45 seconds up and including 20 minutes and 48 seconds. That seems to be focal time on the footage of some 2 minutes and 50 seconds from persons entering and then subsequently leaving. Did those persons, those particular three persons that you described, come back into the chamber before after the meeting being at any time after that incident?
No, they didn't come back.
And then subsequently the House of Assembly convened, only for it to be adjourned at roughly 17 minutes past 4 in the afternoon. Were you in the chamber at that time?
Yes, I was.
From your knowledge, did the members of the EFF leave the chamber at any point during the first adjournment of some 3 minutes or 7 minutes now that is coming up, and then the longer adjournment? Did they leave the chamber at any time?
Okay, I'm not sure if any of all the members left, but the group as a collective was there at the time when there was the pre-adjournment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I have no further questions for Mr. Schumer.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Kapoor. For the fact that you have actually gone through, I think, to assist the members moving forward. Is there any member that wants to get some more clarity on the reason that is already there? I thank the Honorable Esson, Honorable Lovlich, Honorable Tindale, Honorable Mwango. Honorable Fala. Let's hear from Honorable Esson.
Thank you, Honorable. I think the first question I'd like to raise on the is the one that the Cotton Council indicated that when she tried to deal with the situation, the honorable member refused to cooperate and to sustain the House and not to obey any orders from the chair side, from the speaker side. And then she said she was going to approach the security of Parliament, came back in, went back out a bit later again. At what stage was the security of Parliament actually involved in the process? And can she just briefly explain to us, Honourable Chair, when did SCAPS actually come into the House, as you can see on the clip, and where is the security of Parliament itself? And of course, it's the difference between the security of Parliament and the SCAPS at Parliament at the NKP National Depot. I think those are the things I'd like to have some clarity on from what I've seen in the book.
That question, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. And then Honourable Lachis.
Thank you, Chair. My colleague has asked the question that I wanted to ask, but I would also perhaps just like to know who has the prerogative to call security into the chamber? Is it the Speaker and the Sergeant's arms or only one of them?
Honourable Lachis, and then Credit Lachis, and this is much more clear. Well, I'm referring to the security services in Parliament of security, meaning cops outside. That's so that is clear also.
Parliament
security. Okay. Thank you very much. And then, honorable members, if you have more than one question, you get a certain round. So that we are able to follow that your question and respond. Let's just ask one question instead of second round, so that we are able to measure whether all your questions have been responded. I think it is an opportunity for all of us to do that.
Thank you, sir. Do you have the policy to remove members from the House after a call for adjournment of the meeting?
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Mwango.
Thank you, Chairman. Through you, the question is answered by the Speaker. She quotes the words, the specific words uttered by the Speaker. Question is answered. Please assist me with relieving the members in this House who are not serious about this decision to take their leave. And then in your own words, you actually went to approach the central to ask him to leave the House because the presiding officer has said, so why do you approach Mr. Dole? Because the Speaker has not mentioned Mr. Dole.
Okay, now it's the opportunity for Honourable Charles.
Thank you, sir. In the inaugural video of the state, you naturally were moving around the House in an endeavor to control the situation. What is it that you witness? You have members standing. On one of the fields, there are also members from other parties standing. How many people were standing at the time in which you did that thing with this amendment?
Okay, is there any other further question? Not for this round, for the remaining members. For the remaining members, Honourable John, or thank you very much, Mr. Stroh. John interpreted the removal of Tucker from Honourable Kilzan and John. There is no mention of the fight. It's only that it is long as you've been here. Then you can have to respond to the question.
The first question has to do with the what stage protection, the Parliamentary Protection Services was involved, and when the FPPS came into the chamber. And to the second question, I cannot say with certainty at what point the FPPS came into the chamber. because first of all, I was not involved in the negotiation that was taking place. The Secretary to the National Assembly was the one interacting with the leadership of the National Assembly. So what I saw was members of the SAPS in uniform on the floor of the House, even though for some time they were not doing a lot. They were standing around, some of them ended up standing at the door, etc. But I don't know exactly at what point on that day they came into the chamber. The protection services, I said that when I went outside the door, there were three or four of them of our colleagues from the protection services standing outside. And my issue was that these people, because they report under the section manager of protection services, I was hoping to have a discussion with them and in order for the people to move into the house. And unfortunately, I did not have contact with her all of the day. I believe that she was actually at the front, the side of the first entrance at the time when I was leaving. Member 3 was asking who has the prerogative to call parliamentary security. Is it the Speaker or the Sergeant at Arms? The Sergeant at Arms has no prerogative of any kind, unless instructed by the Speaker, unless directed by the Speaker to do anything at all. There is no prerogative for the Sergeant at Arms to do anything, to even stand up and see doing anything during sittings of the House. And the Secretary, the question is whether the Sergeant at Arms has authority to remove after the call for adjournment. First of all, the Sergeant at Arms does not have authority to remove. Obviously, the authority rests with the Speaker, second of all. Second of all, after adjournment, in this particular case, I don't think that the Secretary is referring to that, in this particular case, the request for by Speaker, the instruction by Speaker for members to leave was done, as far as I remember, before adjournment, during the sitting. So if the Speaker said we will adjourn for 3 minutes so that the people can be taken out, that was my understanding done in the context of a sitting of the House. Again, the Sergeant at Arms must follow the instructions of the Speaker when instructed to do whatever it is, take members out or whatever it is during the sitting of the House. That's what the Sergeant at Arms will do. I'm not sure if I've answered that question in the question section. Mr. Mango asked why I approached Mr. Zoe. Matter of fact, I cannot really find any other reason why. I suppose that in my mind, I was telling myself Mr. Zoe is a good person of the party, because there were other members of the Economic Freedom Fighters standing behind me, who were also standing, etc. But I guess in my mind, I was telling myself this is the spokesperson of the party, and probably I will get somewhere in trying something. Obviously, I did not, so on the day, so I proceeded to the leader of the party. Mr. Father wants to know how many members were standing at the time when I approached Ms. Mariama. I cannot say how many members were standing, but I can say that it was very, very clear to me what the instruction of the Speaker was. Not only did the Speaker actually point with her finger, she also moved her body towards the people that she wanted me to remove. So I suppose at the time my instruction did not have anything to do with the other people who were standing around, but the people who the Speaker had indicated to me to go and help her remove from the chamber.
honorable members, Sultan will follow, honorable Esau will follow, and Nyang will follow. In that order, honorable Sultan.
That particular thing.
Yeah.
The chair and his farm, he couldn't form a report about the government by a job description when you take office, even as members of parliament. I'm simply asking the question, if you exercise the responsibility as far as the answer follows, the procedures laid down in your job description.
Okay. Okay. I think that question she should be able to answer that. Honorable Imam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The president was totally very, very busy on that day in the one of the things that we actually said we were going to do after talking to the Honourable Indiana, that was given. You remember that the speaker did say
we are suspending the House so that these members will be removed from the House. She did say so that the members will be removed from the House. So in my mind, the instruction that was given right at the beginning of the disruption was continued with the instruction that said we are suspending for us so that these members can be removed. The other question had to do with the job description of the sergeant in the camp and the whether the role related to the job description was carried out. The sergeant in the camp, much as she had the responsibility to remove, and I say remove in the first format, because removing somebody obviously would mean that you would either knock them or not handle them in some way. I don't think that it is the intention of any parliament for members to be removed in that way. On this particular day, it was difficult because it was not one member. And like I must say, like my own experience of a member being removed was only once, and I did not even have to remove. When I approached the member, the member left and I was able to leave. But on this particular day, we had a number of members staying together and shouting and screaming. It would not have been possible for any such attempts, I suppose, to be able to carry out, if we understand removing, meaning that she must do it herself alone. As far as the administration is concerned, there is cooperation between the Protection Services of Parliament and the Office of the Sergeant at Arms in carrying out the issue. For example, you see when there's a vote that we depend on the Protection Services to help us to secure the doors and close the doors because we don't have enough people inside the house. So there is that relationship, a working relationship between us. It was expected, at least from my side, that the protection services are the ones who should be coming into the chamber to remove the member. The fact that I did not find the leader of the group probably has led to the members not being removed and the question and the question. But I was conscious that these people do not report to me and that they have somebody who is at a similar level as I am reporting to. So I thought that it would be right for her to be there when the instruction is given and her to be there, in fact, with a contingent of that.
Mr. Nwango is asking a question about the members of the SATF following me into the chamber. I'm sorry, I don't recall them following me, but I certainly did not call them, any member of the SATF, to follow me into the chamber. As I indicated, my intention to go outside of that door was to get support from the internal protection service section staff. So if there is a slip that shows members of the SATF actually following me, I don't know how it happened. They were not called by me, they really did not even speak to me at all. I was in close proximity to a senior official. I don't remember that. Which part of the clip is the toilet referring to? If they can show, I can be reminded which part of the clip.
You have done. Are you done?
This question I'm unable to answer that Mr. Kwala asked. Because it refers to a part in the clip. If I can be shown that part, please.
Do we have the capacity to identify the clip, Mr. Fanfua?
Mr. Reverend, I'm assisted with some guidance because apparently just before this particular claim and roughly at 20 minutes, 10 seconds. So then, if you rewind it, there is somebody with a police cap, a hard one rather than a soft cap. The person has just moved out of the lane a few seconds before this. If you just rewind it a little bit, please. Thank you.
Okay, and then I'm sure you've been assisted to be able to respond.
Yes.
Okay, and then we had Honorable Chidiye. What's on the line?
How
about
you have the traffic? I think that I can answer to you. I just want to give you concern from Honorable Chidiye. If she can recall any previous incident of such a grave nature in her tenure has started to fall, has she ever been requested to walk somebody out and help in her tenure? Second to last question,
maybe
she can tell us about it.
Can you say it to her so that you will get us an opportunity to raise the second question? Madam Dagar, do you want to take this question now? Sure. We'll take that for now. Okay, we can proceed to respond.
I can respond to the final question about me being in close proximity to senior officials of the SACS. The only person I know, and that they know, simply because I work with him, especially on sitting days, is the gentleman in plain clothes. The general I don't work with. I happen to know the general, I think, Lavoie. But the person that I speak to from time to time in carrying out my duty is Captain Declare, because he is the head of the unit that works in Parliament. The other police officer standing to my left, also I can't say that I recognize him. He might be one of the people who work in Parliament. I don't know. They happened to come to our base there when we were speaking to the two members, but I don't know how they got there. I wasn't involved in calling them into the chamber. Mr. Mongo, I can confirm that I'm convinced that what I attempted to do on that day was simply to carry out instruction by the presiding officer, the chief of the house. And I don't know about not anything untoward. I just did what I was called upon to do. I don't know if that will be enough for Mr. Mongo. Kilian is asking whether there were any previous incidents when I was requested to remove a member. There were two incidents before. But then I indicated one where I actually walked from my bench towards the member, but before I got there, the member left. And another instance was, as I was standing up, because the speaker had just turned his arm to remove the member actually packed his things and left. So the incident of the 21st of August was very, very new to me. I had never done anything like this ever in my life. Another boy was asking about the perceptions that I think have been created. MPs and the passenger, I did not understand that question.
Yeah, it was
probably
because it was especially asking of you instead of aspect, and then Mem-Kabo.
Thank you for your indulgence. I'm interested in this question of the instruction that you were given in the meditation of the time. You were given an instruction to go and remove people. And you said you thought that the speaker actually was referring to the member of the DSM because she was actually facing in that direction. In the same direction, the members of the DA, the ESS, and the leader of my own party was in the same direction. And you went there and spoke to Mr. Mind. In your own mind, did the speaker actually manage that to remove the entire message? She actually was preparing, you were right to say that she was preparing to the ESS. Was he actually referring to the, were you actually going to be moving out the entire component of the ESF? Or just another number? If you had succeeded to move them out, would you have removed the entire 25% of the ESF in your own understanding of the instruction? The last one, if you could just identify for us that gentleman who and the lady, whom you actually followed and tried to restrain. Who is that gentleman and that lady? Who are you?
Oh, okay, and then I think we heard Honorable Julian with another question. You heard the floor?
Or maybe showing the sister by easy act, it appears that the speaker is responsible for the security at Parliament, getting with the chamber, under section 3 of the Parliament Regulations. Section 4 then proceeds further to say on what when members of the security must be around, each reform remain in institutions, etc., for the purpose of performing any policing function, or perform any policing function in the precinct, only with permission of under the authority of the police. So then it further to say, the police, the protection services, however, may intervene if they have a fear of maybe an immediate danger to the life or damage to property, etc. And then only in such circumstances can they inform the speaker of this. In other words, not the speaker calling on them, but they protect the number of members who are around. Which is just confirmed that was your understanding as well, so that we understand your responsibility as sergeant at arms to be more ceremonial and only because of the very limited number of members of protection services around, that you are to walk members out, but in cases of imminent, obviously, there is an additional security function by the police service as stipulated in the Constitution and in the Act, which is really confirmed.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for the quote of that particular Act. And then to be able to quick comment on if not so, and then maybe you can, but if you know, then that made an entire explanation and so on. Is there any other member that wanted to pose a question? Honorable Quintan, and then followed by Quintana. Just in fact, or not, you raise the hand for it. About staff.
When did you feel obligated to call staff as different from the financial issues? telling what's going through my mind, because I want to get an answer. You just do so when you feel that there is potential courage to be committed, that you feel that it's from the trust, or would you do that for a different reason? I'm mindful of the position that honor is appearing in the document. I think it's just a woman said that I'm holding the person because he's a slave in that situation. But my question is success for us in the respect of what she could be. Thank you.
Okay, honor Runga. To the provisions of security services on the relation to the act. and how she fit in and attend to that particular program. So I think that the Honorable has to afford an opportunity to look at that. Is that acceptable, Honorable Member?
Back to what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for your understanding. We can keep quiet ourselves. Two cells. Okay. Yeah, then you can go for tea and then let's make sure that the tea doesn't take more than 10 minutes there. And then the witness will be able to look at the specific document so that we get a correct understanding. Thank you very much. Go for the tea. Not 5 minutes. There's other ceremonies when you walk through there.
Can you hear me? belong to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I start with with your permission, Chair, can I start with the question by Mr. Mwango? Mr. Mwango was asking whether my understanding was whether the entire component of the economic freedom fighters were supposed to be removed from the house following the instructions to remove. I did not at the moment of the instruction actually think about what it is, who it is that will be, because it was, you would have seen on the clip that it was a number of members of the EFF who in turn, first of all, stood up, even though the speaker was kept on saying, I have not recognized you, I have not recognized you. Secondly, members who stood up and shouted at different intervals, despite a good number of them who stood up and were shouting. It was not possible for me to actually pinpoint which members of the EFF were the ones to be removed. The only thing that I was certain of was that a good collective of the members of the EFF were the ones that the speaker wanted to be removed from the chamber. And Madam Tabo's question about when Mr. Malema is in province and in the air, it was at the time when he was saying, Kareem, we are not going anywhere. And that is correct, ma'am. That is the time. The first, he said, we are not going anywhere, we want the money. And then the next, the lecture was Valija, like this. And that is correct. The other questions have to do with Section 4 of the Corporate Privileges Act. The issue of the presence of security services and my understanding of the role of the sergeant at arms. Also, the other question is whether when I was called to assist, considering that Parliament is a national key point, what it is that meant. And also the issue, I think it was about when would I call the security services, under what circumstances, I think, Mr. Kintana asked. You know, with your permission, Secretary, I think that there is a little bit of background to this. The duty of the president, the work, the job of the president in this parliament is slightly different from the president arms in other parliaments in this way. Previously, the president arms was responsible for what I call traditional president arms work, which involved the support to the presiding officers during the sessions of the house, but also the issuing of tickets, your gallery tickets, and also the managing of the group of people who are responsible for the security. In other words, the protection services of parliament would report under the president. That's what happened in other parliaments. In this parliament, a few years ago, this was changed with the establishment of the security services. Previously, I understand that the small contingent of security that we had here reported under the President Arms, I believe, but during my time, we had already established the planetary protection services section. And that is where the work that relates mostly to the security element of the President Arms were moved to be done by the protection services section. So in order to answer this question, the President Arms in this parliament would go as far as securing or assisting the presiding officer
inside the chamber, and whatever else that is required, including liaison with the security services, including calling them out here, would be done by, I suppose, the manager of the security protection services in the institution. So, to answer what Mr. Boy is asking, my understanding of Section 4 and the role of the sergeant at arms, that is how I understand my role, that the issue, that the work is divided between the sergeant at arms and the protection services. So at the point where I call upon the protection services, that is where probably most or all of the issues under Section 4 of the Act will come into place. I see, my understanding is that the sergeant at arms in our case is sort of the link between what is going on in the house and what it is that we might need to do as far as security services is concerned. Mr. Sintan is asking whether I would feel obligated to call SLAP instead of the parliamentary protection services under what circumstances. Generally, as a SLAP member of parliament, not only in my role as sergeant at arms, if I saw something that was happening, somebody was being beaten up in the prisons of parliament, or I suspected that something, that, you know, the LPA required me to actually report these things if I see that something is being stolen, for example. So generally, as a member of staff, I would actually call, in fact, possibly what I would do, because I wouldn't know who to contact as the security services. My first port of call will probably be our parliamentary protection services. And then I guess the same in my duties as sergeant at arms, I probably would fall on to asking our parliamentary protection services, because they have a better, more red line, you know, between themselves and the security services. Mr. Boyd's question about the perceptions that might have been created, I don't know how to answer it.
Okay, thanks for help. You don't have an answer for that, it's fine. It's not fine. Honorable Father, you can put your question.
What is the significance of today that you saw?
Lucky.
Yeah, the lucky. You know, that entered the chamber from today to signify the beginning of business, and we cut it according to serious respect, and it is presented with dignity by all of us in the members of staff. That would be one. Number two, there's been here for a number of years. They have gone through a variety of experiences with different regulations and the parliament whose function it is to conduct oversight on the regulations. You have one witness to what we call serious robust days. You know, you've got the executive. The point is the question that's raised by members of parliament in the fulfillment of the chief of the doctor. In your experience, would have the answers been adequate enough, satisfactory enough, to satisfy members that they pose this question?
Honourable members, I need to protect the witness from that. I think we are trying our level best, honourable members. You know, if you try and solicit a view, you are creating a problem. Not solicit a view. We must actually get exactly what happened, aspect and evidence. Then the views and the political understanding and all that is reserved for your own discussion and your own level as politicians. That question, I think, is seriously unfair. And mentally not unfair. He didn't plead to the person that you are put into. And remember that that official and exhausted the status of that arms and not engaged in political activities or whatever. And therefore, to expect her to have an opinion on the answer, which I think in the rule book that we have, it also indicates that even the teacher is not able to actually really make that determination as a presiding officer or all presiding officers. So I think that one last question, Honorable Twala, I think don't expect it to be answered. If you want to place it to another question, you may do so.
For clarity's sake, Mme Mosuli has expressed an opinion deriving from experience in this parliament. She has never borne witness to this authority. That's an opinion. If the question is premised on the same basis as the previous answer to that question, I should see not be able to answer this one.
Honorable member, I did not think that you were going to argue about that one. I thought that you were going to put another question. Because surely so we don't need to argue about that one. If we become aware that that's the situation that we're in, we'll always follow ourselves to all. But I mean, if it crops in from her answer, and then saying whatever he's saying is fine, but for us to actually expect her to give an opinion, it's wrong, member of parliament. As a witness. That's what I'm just communicating to ourselves, and that we just simply make sure that we are really putting fair questions, actually to get the evidence that will assist you in relation to the work that you have in front of you. Honorable Mom.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that's one question that my sister was there actually did not answer. Mine was actually to identify for us. The second one actually is probably the last one from my heart. She said, I don't see any law that was faced by parliamentary security on that day. Despite the fact that the speaker actually specifically asked you to get the security. Do something about the situation that has developed. And I've been following this clip through and through, but I was unable to identify not one single member of parliamentary security. Not to say that I actually know everyone of them, but I have not had any evidence actually saying that one is a member of the parliamentary security unit. Why were they not there? How secure is this parliament if such an event could take place right up to the end of them actually, you know, taking any notice of what was happening and then make themselves available and to try to intervene? Thank you.
Okay, may I proceed to Mirko?
I really just forget to answer the question about who the people are and who goes into the chamber. And I forgot their names. I do know that they are members of the National Assembly, and I know that the gentleman is a member of the National African National Congress. The two members who came dressing, that is what you are asking. Yes. Mr. Ngawa was looking for who they are. Maybe I can't understand this much. And about the role played by the Parliamentary Protection Services that day, in one of my answers to a question, I did indicate that as I went outside, three of my colleagues of protection services were actually at the door. You will see there are people in green, light green shirts out there. I do not think that
they were absent and far away from what was happening. And I guess that they were waiting for an instruction to be given to them to do whatever it is that they are supposed to do in terms of their standard operating procedure. So they were around the chamber. I won't say that they were not here at all. Mr. Chala asked the question about the significance of the maze. One of the things about the maze is that it's one of the things that we inherited from the Westminster system, and it's supposed to show the one of the things is to show the authority of the speaker. But we've had a time, and there was an incident once when we didn't have the maid in the house because the locking system did not work properly. But the proceedings did go ahead, and they were recorded in the normal manner, and there was nothing untoward about that sitting of that day. I suppose that is one thing that members would think about. In my training, it is signifying the authority of the speaker.
As I think you have done, is that other question which I ruled it out. Yes, honorable boy.
For record purposes, I want to announce my question. To see in a port is what I want to be able to see as a narration that you can in the way you came in. It says when there is immediate danger to the life or state of any person or damage to any property. Members of the security service may, without obtaining such permission, enter upon and take action in the proceedings, and so by it is necessary to prevent the danger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. That is another issue, because you see, and then I get noise.
Honourable Members, that's the second. Honourable Members, that's why I'm saying that part which Honourable Bo is asking has to express the view. That's the one that I'm saying is not correct. And then by the referendum of that section, and for her to see where she fits in terms of the provision of the act, that's fine. That's fine. Honourable Bo.
Chair, we can replay the video there. Can you repeat this issue when the Sergeant of Arms went over and had interaction with Honorable Mahima? And at that level, that's why I'm really putting it forward, to see that what happened at that point when the President said, I'm reading the law, so what the order is there.
Okay.
The law talked about this law.
Okay.
It's not an expression of opinion. If the Council is one happened in the room,
I just need to make this clear, Honourable Members. The Sergeant of Arms is operating under the instruction of the Speaker. And it's the Speaker that made a determination and made a ruling. By asking for members to be taken up, she made a ruling. And where is that the Sergeant of Arms was thinking is there danger or no danger, or it was high or low, there's nothing she can do until there is an infraction. That's why I was saying for her to express an opinion on that one, it would be problematic, but for the provision in the Act, as it spells out, when and under which circumstances police or security stations can come in, she can actually indicate where she falls in on that particular process as a Sergeant at Arms. She can do that, but not express an opinion whether there was more danger or less danger. Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I'm saying. Let's reserve that to our own deliberation and not expect her to express that view. I'm pleading because we need to get to responses from the witness and putting questions to the witness and not take too much time sorting ourselves out on procedures that we're supposed to be long clear about them. Do you want to raise a question, Honorable Clark? Okay, if that's the case, let me take Honorable Mdagan first as you picked up them before, all of you. Because I wanted to come to you if you want to raise questions.
Yes, no, Mr. Chair. In a hearing, there's no point of order.
I have order.
No, there's no point of order. This is a hearing, not a committee issue. And the fact that sometimes you allow it doesn't mean that it's correct. There's no point of order in this hearing. And the witness is there. We are putting questions to the witness. There's no point of order. I don't know what I'm going to happen when we discuss this matter substantially in our own court. But the point here that I wanted to raise is that I'm not sure that Henry can propose and include on the matter. It's important that because our witnesses are coming, that we speak to the main reason why the witness is here. Because we agreed that the witness should be here. But the main purpose why the Sergeant of Arms is here, not just because of the law, I guess, but to explain some of the issues that were observed in terms of the entire the people that we're working. I think that said, maybe the fellow panelists will address that. If we got there, the question that were relevant to that month, that why the Sergeant of Arms was called here. Don't forget that the witnesses that are here now are the witnesses that were identified by the committee. Therefore, they're here to say the station's specific reasons. And the leader has not said that this is shared. My view is that we should really throw them out and continue with other witnesses that are here. Otherwise, we may discuss all other issues, application, and all this. I don't think it's very fair for any witness for this matter. I really propose that we are penalized. Our duty is for that we listen to the entire evidence, and when we meet then, we can discuss more this issue. And then point of order will remain there, but not in the hearing. That's from the chair, I suppose that we should do.
Honorable Mwangos, not now, you will follow Tuan and Kirtan and then yourself. I think the proposal that has been made by the Honorable Dagan still remain, and then we should just remember that it has been made, and then we'll continue and raise those questions, knowing that the proposal is there. It is correct, Honorable Members, that when you agreed on the names of these witnesses, there were motivations that were made that made all of you to agree that specific witness should come because there is a specific gap to close on your evidence. And therefore, that has been done. But if we go all out and ambush witnesses, and then you may not be correct to your own decisions and that you have made. That is very difficult when you have you have the power and the right in terms of the statute to cross-question a witness for me, to stop you from doing it. But I really do ask for your for your understanding to really make sure that you do ask the questions that you said you wanted to ask to get answers to close those specific evidence gaps. And if you go all out, not that why you are doing that, but you are not really true to the main reasons you persuaded each other to agree on these witnesses to come. And let's continue, Honorable Tuala. I would excuse you, Honorable Tuala, because I think you are not in that specific meeting. Then any possibility of jumping outside the circle, but you will all do. We'll just try and humanly order. We will humanly just advise that no, you have just skipped the second. And then we'll rely on your understanding and continue.
Thank you, Chair. I was really speaking clarity on the statement you made earlier. But what I would rather do, because then we might display the emotion. Let's agree. As your proposal, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. That my time is with this can be out with you.
Yeah, that is progressive. And serious is progressive. And Honorable Mwango, I'm sure you have heard me. That's nephew.
Yeah.
Order, Honorable Mwango. I think you've been quiet this morning. You even could stay in the quietness. Honorable Mwango, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually went to surprise because I agree with Mr. Swan and also the proposal made by Honorable Mr. Swan. However, I would feel comfortable that proposal is implemented only after the witness has actually been able to identify those two people. And we need to help her do so by actually playing that clip. Because I would, some of us in this room who actually I help you identify the names of the rest.
Honorable members, I think the members in question, they are on the clip, and the chief, Mr. Fanford, gives the possibility to identify that particular person on the clip. Then you can just say, then she sees them, if she knows their name, then she says, and then Honorable Mwango will be now supporting the end of this session. Can you give them a minute or so to identify that part of the game?
Through Ms. Simmons, she could also probably try to explain why it was restraining, I'm using this word.
Honorable Mwango, can't be ordered. You want to say if she knows their name. Otherwise, then you may go on and will say identification of everybody that appears on the video, and it can't be correct. You have made your plea that we place if you know the name of those two. Then she does so. And then give her an opportunity if she can remember the name of those members and then and do so. If she doesn't recall the names back,
I think the question I also want to see the video. Are you able to explain what do I mean by this? Because I don't think tell of the law. And I mean I'm facing the law. I mean I want to see and I want that people get to where I'm seeing the better decision of I'm not telling. So if it comes to that question, we want them to cross the same constituency, I think there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, well, honorable members, let's hear whether the citizens know the names of those two persons that Honorable Nwango wants to be identified. And of course, we are going to show that Honorable Nwango knows all of them by name. And then, please, honorable members, let us be honest with ourselves and be honorable members continuously until the end of the system. Member?
I know the members. I know their faces. I know they should be the
same. I can't remember their names. Okay. If that is the case, then that brings us to the end of this specific witness.
Can I help you, Mr. Chairman? I know the gentleman is Honorable Luzino.
No, Honorable Mwango. I don't think that we are facing the correct picture for ourselves and having the public. Because when you ask also for them to be identified, you said you don't know them. And whereas we know that when we view the video, you really call those people by name yourself. The time when you got an opportunity to look at the video, even before the evidence was there, your excellency talks of the real names of these people. Now, today you say you don't know them, so much identify. Now you say it doesn't have the name, then now you want to have that you know the name. I think it is not correct. Can you identify those names in our deliberations and discussion?
With the aid of this case. All I wanted was that they identify the name of those people because I believe strongly that she knows that she interacted with them. If she has forgotten about their name now, but she
doesn't
have to go and refresh them.
Honorable members, you need to assist us, honorable members. Otherwise, it would look like I'm trying to suppress you, and the intention is not to do that. You see that you are laboring on a belief. You believe that she knows it. You're not saying that she knows it. And that is a little bit problematic. But almost, if you just wanted the names to be on record, yes. And then you should have just done so. Because she says she doesn't know the names, and we have to actually take it away from her. And therefore, I think this should then bring us to the end of this specific witness, and then as seconded by Honorable Tuan. And then I want to say on behalf of all of you, Honorable Members, to thank the President for having agreed and made herself available to come to this hearing and give us the evidence or responses to the questions that have been lawfully put to her, and she has done her best to the best of her knowledge. And I hope that whatever responses she has given us will assist you, members, in your discussions and deliberations in order to actually reach a point where you can go back and report to the House. And Mr. Fatwara, is there anything that you need to say in relation to your witness?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to thank Madam Mashloni, Sergeant of Arms, for cooperation this afternoon. I have no further questions for Sergeant Thomas.
Thank you very much, and we're ready to thank you again, Milton and Professor Ramos. Honorable members, I think we. Yeah. And then I just need to also maybe recognize Mr. Fantour, if there is any other witness that coming. Mr. Fantour.
Mr. Chairman, the arrival of other witnesses is sadly a matter beyond my control. The I indicated earlier that I anticipated potentially two more witnesses, one of them being the chief whip of the opposition, the other being the deputy chief whip of the majority party. I am not being informed that either of those two persons are in the precinct. And will be guided by, I suppose the committee will guide by you, Mr. Chairman, as to how we proceed.
Honourable members, as we have indicated at the beginning of this particular hearing, Honourable Sting Hayter, or is it Ian?
Ian
Hayter. The latest is that he is arriving late, and even when he arrives, he has got another engagement that is going to go. It's not going to happen. That is the challenge that we are having. And then the deputy chief whip of the majority party, and then we understood that she's going to be here in parliament for this year around 5 o'clock. I think her flight will be there at 4. And so we still are waiting for her to be here. And now, in addition to the two ministers, Minister Mahlobo is in Angola, as it has been explained when we started. And then Minister Chwele is in South Korea, as it has been explained. And now, in relation to the two ministers, also, given your discussions on the evidence or the gaps that you wanted them to come and fill in, we received the an affidavit from Minister Mahlobo on that specific gap that you discussed and to give evidence on together with Mr. Cliff. And then, yes, let's send the affidavit from the one that got it this morning. And then it has reached this desk. And then now, the intention of us is that last week when we suspended was that they would be meeting and receiving this evidence from. Yes. And therefore the situation that we are in, this specific one that today is that Honorable Ian Hazen is not going to be here, even if we can wait here until 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or midnight. And then he has got another engagement when he then here. And of course, as I've said, the deputy chief whip is going to be here around 5, and then the two ministers, we're not going to have them, but they've got an affidavit in relation to that specific matter that you wanted them to clarify. Honorable members, that is what, then followed by Ulto Tweet and then Ndaga. I hope that you are raising a hand not to debate the matter, but to indicate the way forward, how we deal with it.
Yes.
idea that we could postpone a major event meeting in view of the fact that two witnesses are not available. The arrest will be tomorrow. On the issue of the ministers, we would naturally want to engage with them. I don't think an academic discussion is not that interesting. In my view, I would rather advise that we if we get anything interesting to be said, the ministers come in as well and is subjected to the same rigorous inspection that you might have had with other ministers, I think.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to indicate that Honourable Stevenson is available tomorrow. Remember that we all at the beginning of the meeting said that we could look at tomorrow as a possible opportunity for witnesses.
Yeah. I'll explain something about the Honourable Dala.
Chair, it has to, for me also not to cause my own confusion. I just understood all along that when we deal with matters of procedural and processes in Asia, we meet as a committee, not as a panel. We only meet as a panel and as a witness. Right now, we're in a committee session. You mustn't take precedent. Because if we take precedent, the chaos will continue doing that. I think we must wait, meet as a committee, take this issue, come back and do that. So that it will take a message in the panel. Sometimes the committee meets, and when everyone is there, all over the country, I think we are going to cause harm to the process of the report. My view here is for us just to meet in our small room, have our discussion on this matter, and then we come back, then we do what we're supposed to do as a panel. I think that's what the conclusion.
Thank you for that help. And, I guess I said that I was not expecting discussions, but I simply report how we deal with this mess. And unfortunately, it has got out of hand. Honorable members, the proposal has been made that you switch to your committee room. Actually, we will also, during that time, waiting for the deputy to be, because I think it's just about 25 minutes now, 5 minutes. And then while you're having that discussion, taking decision, and then probably when you come back and handle the decision, then you should be able to pronounce how we move forward. But you see, honorable members, all what I was just saying is that we suspended the hearing last week to this Monday, and having regard that tomorrow or from tomorrow until Thursday, many committees are supposed to adopt their report because they are actually on the closing day. We are supposed to be participating fully in those VR. We never had the intention that this would extend to tomorrow because it was essentially encroaching into a territory of parliamentary work that cannot be shifted. And also, of course, is that last week, after we suspended the hearing to today, then we got a note with Mr. Van Poor that he's not available Tuesday. He has got, not available Tuesday morning. And then I think it's whatever decision that we take, then we should also talk to that specific minister. Can we then request members then to go and help? I'm not sure that there's an additional fee there. And next, while you're discussing all these particular matters, and then we'll come back. We'll keep track with the deputy chief. If she's available, then the 5 o'clock will be convened and continue. The hearing that is until 5.